Our next presentation is from Melinda Thomas, who's a Applied Informatics Fellow in Tallahassee, Florida. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming by. We really appreciate it. As you just heard, I'm a Public Health Informatics Fellow at the Florida Department of Health. And today I'm going to be talking about an exciting project that I've been able to participate in that deals with how an immunization information system can improve acute disease surveillance and investigation. So improved decision support is needed for prioritizing and responding to potential vaccine-preventable diseases, their cases and outbreaks. During VPD case investigations, obtaining vaccine history for cases is crucial as it is used for assessing vaccine failure and determining if prevention efforts are working. And they're also used to prioritize contacts or exposed persons for likelihood of developing infection after exposure. Knowing which contacts are at higher risk for developing infection helps public health target their resources during responses, as you all know. So Merlin is Florida's reportable disease surveillance system. It stores disease case data for epidemiological investigations and disease control. It currently has 111 different disease codes, including those for vaccine-preventable diseases. Merlin was built and is maintained in-house and is used by epidemiologists in all 67 Florida County Health Departments. So the Florida's Immunization Information System, or I'm going to refer to it as an IIS to not have tongue twisters, is the State Health Online Tracking System, or Florida SHOTS, which was established in 2002. SHOTS receives data from healthcare providers across the state and then applies algorithms to evaluate and make recommendations for vaccination timing. Participation in SHOTS is not required in Florida for providers, but all 67 county health departments are mandated to enter information for vaccinations that they administer. As such, ELC funds were crucial in supporting this project. As of February of this year, 5,600 organizations with 14,500 active public and private sites were participating in SHOTS. So Merlin and SHOTS have traditionally been standalone systems. Here's a very simplified diagram of the workflow for epidemiologists using Merlin and SHOTS. During a VPD case investigation, EPIs investigate and capture immunization history information in Merlin. This may involve copying over what's already in SHOTS, resulting in duplicate data entry, or if a person is not in the registry, the EPI will interview the case or suspected case and record their findings in Merlin, which may not also get entered into the registry. Some EPIs at the local and state level have SHOTS accounts, but while some others do not, which limits their ability to fully investigate in a timely manner. So our goal for Merlin and SHOTS is to make them interoperable so that they can seamlessly share data. EPIs may still need to access SHOTS directly, but introducing interoperability will increase the EPI's access to public health data to help minimize unnecessary breaks in workflow to seek out and enter vaccination history information, and will also reduce duplicate data entry. This will allow EPIs more time to do actual disease control work. So to set the stage for this project, Merlin SHOTS are maintained in separate bureaus but are in the same division of the Department of Health. Initial communications between the two bureaus actually began in 2008, and several attempts to collaborate were initiated, but IIS leadership at the time was not quite receptive to the idea. Not shown on the slide here, but in April 2014, new IIS leadership was appointed that was a little more open to the project. This really highlights the strong need for leadership support among both system teams when undertaking an interoperability project. The initial meeting and brainstorming sessions between the SHOTS and Merlin project teams occurred in May last year, where we decided on a three-phased approach that would provide a win-win situation for both systems. In June 2014, we had to hold off on planning until a new SHOTS interoperability enhancement was released and certain legal concerns for Merlin were resolved, and I'll talk more about that later. In July, the system teams were back on track with planning, and phase one was released this past January, and phases two and three are slated for late summer and fall of this year, respectively. So to go a little more into detail about this three-phased approach, in phase one, Merlin enrolled in SHOTS as if it were another provider, which enables Merlin users to query SHOTS via an already established HL7251 web service directly from within the Merlin surveillance application. The same SHOTS demographic contact and vaccination history information that is returned to a provider is returned and displayed in Merlin. This required no additional work for SHOTS, which is great on their end. The same HL7 specifications guide given to providers for onboarding was provided to us, meaning Merlin. In phase two, answers to disease case investigation questions in Merlin will be auto-populated based on shots vaccination information, and Merlin profiles will automatically update with demographic and contact information from shots pending Merlin user approval. In phase three, demographic contact and immunization information from Merlin will be sent back to shots using the same transfer method a provider uses to update or add a new vaccination record. In this phase, Merlin will send data to shots and they can decide how they want to incorporate our data. To gather feedback from Merlin users, we conducted a user survey before phase one planning to gauge interest among users and to develop defined project requirements to benefit both systems. We also wanted to conduct a survey after phase one implementation and after training sessions to gauge reception and gather feedback and to collect suggestions moving forward with the project. To get a system of if the new feature was actually being used, we compared the number of VPD cases to the number of web service transactions made from Merlin to shots after the implementation of phase one. Additionally, we compared the implementation of the project to the seasonality of VPD cases, historical disease trends, to evaluate the timeliness of the phase one release. So for the survey before beginning phase one, we surveyed Merlin users on their use of shots. Almost 90% of responding Merlin users reported having a shots account, and over half of those with a shots account reporting accessing it at least once per week. We received quite a few comments from Merlin users in support of this project before we began, including that it would be useful for their work and the added functionality would save them time. For epidemiologists, researching an individual's vaccination history involves looking at multiple sources and can involve flipping through multiple paper records. They also have to factor in a person's age when symptoms occur, when the person was vaccinated against the disease, and the current vaccination schedules. So now I'm going to walk through some screenshots of phase one, which, as you will recall, is simply the viewing window of shots data within Merlin. Here's a screenshot of a person's profile summary screen within Merlin, which shows information for that profile, including some demographic and contact information, any cases an individual has, and not shown here, but it will also include any lab results attached to the profile. So once you're in a Merlin profile, you can click the vaccination history link by the arrow to open up a viewing window on the screen, on any screen within that profile. So if you're looking at cases within that profile or lab results within that profile, the viewing window will pop up for you. Clicking on the link triggers a query from Merlin to the SHOTS 251 web service using the patient demographic and contact information stored in the Merlin profile, as if it were another onboarded healthcare provider. So after clicking the after clicking the link, it will pop up with the viewing window that will display SHOTS data returned via the web service. The viewing window contains three main sections. The top section displays the Merlin profile summary information. The middle section shows the SHOTS patient or patients returned from the query. And the bottom section shows the SHOTS vaccine history for the selected SHOTS patient. This screenshot shows what it looks like when SHOTS returns an exact match. And as you can see, there's only one patient listed in the SHOTS patient section. The SHOTS vaccination history section displays the vaccine type, date given, dose number, and if available, the injection route, manufacturer, and lot number. It also displays the dose validity and the reason code if the dose was not valid. Including the dose number, validity, and reason code allows Merlin to leverage the vaccine forecasting functionality of SHOTS to assist EPIs in evaluating current vaccination history. So this screenshot shows what it looks like when SHOTS returns multiple possible matches. Notice that there are two patients listed in the SHOTS patient section. These are possible matches returned from SHOTS. And just to note, this is fabricated SHOTS data. If these were true profiles, they would likely be identified and merged as duplicates by algorithms within SHOTS. And as you may notice, the SHOTS vaccine history section is not displaying just yet. So once one of the possible matching profiles is selected, and you can click either the link or the box next to the name, then the vaccine history section will display for that profile in the third section. The Merlin user can flip back and forth between the possible SHOTS profiles to compare the vaccines within each record. Each time the profile's link is clicked, a new query is submitted back to SHOTS to pull in current data. When a match is determined, which can be done by comparing the SHOTS patient information to the Merlin profile information and identifying which SHOTS profile contains the vaccines of interest, users can save the immunization ID, which is the SHOTS unique identifier. This will prevent the user from having to look through the multiple matches the next time they pull up the Merlin profile. To do so, they just need to select the correct shot's profile and click on the Save Immunization ID button. This linkage is important when we move on to phase two of the project. Just to note, linking profiles does not automatically update Merlin in any way just yet in phase one. And here it is with the immunization record being saved. To remove the linkage between the Merlin profile and the shot's profile, they just need to click on the Remove Immunization ID button. So it's not a permanent link, and a Merlin user can undo it at their discretion. So here we have an example of how an epi can use the data in the shop's data viewing window to answer case-based questions in Merlin that are needed for reporting to CDC. The information here denotes an important challenge for epidemiologists, interpreting the vaccine data in the context of a case. The viewing window shows several DTaP vaccines, but because they were all given after the onset date of the case, they were not entered into the Merlin pertussis case data screen. And I'll discuss this a little further later on. So the survey we sent out after the phase one implementation had very positive results. All of the Merlin users who reported using the window said that it was useful. And some comments from Merlin users were that they were very glad to have a feature and that it was a wonderful addition to Merlin and that it was a great resource for their vaccine preventable disease investigations. Additionally, Merlin users were making requests for further developments to this project. They commented on how often they found errors in the registry and they wanted the ability to send immunization information back to SHOTS to update their records. They requested the ability for SHOTS demographic and contact information to be saved in Merlin to update the Merlin profiles. And they also wanted some indication of which SHOTS profiles had exemptions on file, whether medical or religious. And they requested a way to search SHOTS for vaccine histories of exposure contacts in infants. So here's a graph showing the number of web service transactions made from Merlin to SHOTS since the phase one deployment on January 12th and going up to May 16th. Just to clarify here, web transaction counts as every time Merlin queries SHOTS via the web service. As you can see, after implementing the changes, the volume of web service calls from Merlin to SHOTS has remained fairly steady, indicating use of the system. And if you look at the peak in week 10, which is around early to mid-March, we believe that this peak is showing increased transactions for Merlin contact, or sorry, for measles contact investigations. This slide compares, this is basically taking those web service transactions and overlaying it with the number of VPD persons under investigation since the phase one implementation. And as you can see, there are some slight similarities between the trend lines. Just to clarify here, the persons under investigation includes both cases and rule-outs. So here's a graph for the three-year average of pertussis cases for varicella cases by month of occurrence to show the seasonality of two VPDs in Florida. And this is just to show that the phase one linkage, which went live in early January 2015, was already in place for the historically higher morbidity months of pertussis and varicella. As I mentioned before, and as you probably know, an important consideration is that epis need to interpret vaccine data in the context of a case, which must be accounted for when pulling from an immunization information records that continue to be updated. As an example, if there were six measles cases last year, epis would need to report on how many of those cases were fully vaccinated at the time of illness onset, how many only had one dose, and how many had no doses at the time of illness onset. So epis need to save vaccine history at the point when a person becomes sick because they need to know if the person did or didn't have a measles vaccine when the symptoms occurred. So going back to the SHOTS data viewing window, here it is again in the context of the Merlin case extended data screen. The phase one viewing window will continue to update with the current information from SHOTS, but epis need to capture vaccine history at the time of disease onset, which is the reason why phase two of this project is needed. Here on the bottom of the slide, we have screenshots from Merlin for pertussis case with an event date of 6/13/11. If we were to look at the vaccine history for this person in SHOTS today, which is shown on the top portion of the slide, we see four DTaP vaccines with the earliest vaccine given on 5/4/11. Looking at the vaccine history in the context of the pertussis case's event date, the person was underage for vaccine at the time of the disease onset. So next steps in this project will involve updating Merlin with the information in SHOTS in phase two, which will allow epis to update the demographic and contact information in Merlin with SHOTS data. As I mentioned before, selecting a matching SHOTS profile and storing the immunization ID is important for this functionality. Phase two will introduce an algorithm to compare vaccine types and dates vaccines were administered to the onset date and disease code of a BPD case to auto-calculate and auto-populate vaccine-related case questions stored in Merlin. This will improve data accuracy through system interpretation instead of depending on user calculation. Merlin will temporarily store vaccines entered by epidemiologists until they can be submitted to shots in phase three. And these saved manually entered vaccines will be taken into account in the algorithm. The calculated questions based off of the shots vaccines will be stored in Merlin in order to bypass the challenge I described earlier regarding needing a person's vaccine history when the person becomes sick. Bringing it back to the measles example, if this information is stored at the time of the case, EPIs can run analyses on how many measles cases were immunized before case onset, before case symptom onset last year. Phase two promises to save time through reduced duplicate data entry to support a more efficient workflow and to provide access to improved decision support for EPIs during case investigations. So how can EPIs give back to the immunization information system? I'm talking a lot about how we're getting a lot of information from them, but how can we send it back to them to support the registry? By sending Merlin information to SHOTS, EPIs can update and add records to assist in populating the registry. Immediately after the start of this project, many Merlin users reported finding new or additional vaccination information during the case investigation that were previously not in SHOTS. Phase 3 will assist the IIS by allowing the reportable disease surveillance system to update the registry as an additional source, making it more complete. This will include not only updating existing IIS profiles, but also adding people that were not previously in the IIS. So in phase 3, the legal issue that I mentioned before comes into play. How do we represent data submitted from Merlin to SHOTS, represent data submitted from Merlin in SHOTS without revealing that it came from a reportable disease registry? There's a potential to partially reveal that the person had a reportable disease. After speaking with our legal department, our solution was we decided on a generic identifier to display as the source of the vaccine. At the onset of phase three, some vaccines will continue to be manually entered and saved within Merlin. Now you may be asking, why aren't all the vaccines going to be stored in SHOTS? The short-term intermediary plan will involve the IIS bringing in these Merlin vaccine records as an unverified source. They will be temporarily stored in Merlin until the IIS can evaluate this new data source and make internal changes to handle it. So in the long term, we would want all vaccines to be entered, stored, and maintained in SHOTS, with Merlin just querying SHOTS for all the vaccines. So to summarize, we propose that building interoperability between an IIS and a reportable disease surveillance system benefits the users of both systems. New system functionality has led to improved user satisfaction, which we hope to maintain through the remainder of the project phases. The largest barrier to implementation was initial project buy-in. Separating the project into phases allowed for success as users could see the benefits of phase one within just a few months. This phased implementation approach has also provided the opportunity for users to have additional investment in upcoming phases and to suggest modifications not previously included in the initial project design. Without ELC funding, this project could not have been completed. ELC funds supported the IT development, business analysis, and project management related to this project. In phase one, through the SHOTS data viewing window, EPIs have better access to quality vaccine data. In particular, we are very excited that the linkage was established in time to use for the enhanced measles response as well as for the traditionally higher morbidity months of pertussis and varicella in Florida. As a result of this data sharing system interoperability, disease investigators working on BPD spend less time trying to locate and enter vaccination history information and more time doing true disease control work. This translates into more rapid response to outbreaks in individual cases, which leads to more rapid targeting implementation of control measures. Those at higher risk of infection are able to be identified and prioritized quickly, reducing the number of secondary infections. Finally, more complete, better elicitation of vaccination history provides further capacity to evaluate vaccine effectiveness and can be utilized nationally to assess the vaccination program. So I'd like to acknowledge the following groups, including the AFIF and SHINE fellowship projects that I'm a part of, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Sharing data back and forth to the immunization system was that we have a actual case that has like a certain required number amount of information, and then the CIR team will see that and look at it, evaluate it, and decide if it's something that can be added to the record, or we say, hey, you should merge these records, and they say, no, we shouldn't because they're twins, or something like mm-hmm. that. So it's kind of a case-by-case basis. So it's something that is maybe has a few steps to it, but it has been working pretty well, especially during outbreaks, but then your CIR, your immunization registry, would need access to Merlin and things like that. But my question was, I think you mentioned comparing the number of cases in Merlin to the number of queries that were actually done.
It was not just the cases, it was also any of the rule-outs to kind of get a sense of the work that's being involved in an investigation, whether they actually became a case or not.
Okay. So are people querying shots more than one time for a case? Because I know it's something that we do for each case. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to determine what do these number of queries mean compared to the number of cases, or how did you sort of figure out those two numbers to compare?
Well, it's not something that I mentioned, but basically the number of web transactions can actually show some duplication to it, because every single time someone's flipping between the SHOTS profiles, it's actually re-querying. So there's a little artificiality to it of bumping up the numbers, which we need to, I guess, account for in a more complex analysis.
I'll ask a question if anybody else has
any. Sure.
We're supposed to all be asking our questions through the microphones. Taking my prerogative as the moderator, since there's not a line to ask questions. One of the things I found myself wondering about was one of the ways that Florida is a bit unique compared to most of the rest of us states is that most of Florida is surrounded not by other states, rather by ocean, so you don't have as much of a problem probably as we do in other states with people crossing boundaries, but you do have Georgia on the other side mm-hmm. of it, and is there at least one other state that borders Florida?
Alabama,
there we go. So I'm wondering if the immunization record is in fact in another state, are you still able to do something similar to this, or does it all have to be completely manual?
That is a great question. I want to say that there's probably still potential for out-of-state people to be in SHOTS, but that is something I'd have to get back with you about.
Okay. Any other questions? We've got a couple of minutes. Here's one.
I commend you for taking on this project, and that we did it briefly in Oregon with our alert registry, and what we found was that when we queried the system, it pulled back vaccine data on a person, which is a historic record for them, and it overwrote some of the data that the counties had entered mm-hmm. when there was discordant vaccine information, say like the hepatitis B series. So have you thought about which is the gold standard and whether you'll update existing vaccine history in Merlin for people following like the chronic infection?
Right. As it is right now in phase two, we're actually showing on each specific extended data screen for a disease, we would be showing what's coming back from SHOTS, and then it would have a separate section for any of those manually entered vaccines. And I guess how we harmonize, we're still discussing how to go about potentially coming back with one gold standard, like you said.
Do you know if your codes in Merlin match the codes in the vaccine immunization, like the CPT codes or whatever? Have you worked for them?
We have. Yeah, there's CVX and CPTs. Yeah, we're receiving those from SHOTS, and we'll actually be sending back kind of a standard code back to them if we were to try to update their records. I guess it would fall to SHOTS to really consolidate the records, the vaccines, and make that call.
Thank you.
Good question. When you open the vaccine history in the surveillance system, you see the immunization data. Is it Do you have to do any other work to save it to the record, to the patient record? Like when you run the line listing, does it include the vaccine record, or you have?
In phase one, it's pretty rudimentary. We're just displaying it so they can copy it over. But in phase two, we'll actually be piping it through and answering questions based off of it. So there should be less data entry involved there. Thank you.
Thank you.